Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriage between straight women to gay or bisexual men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to send in, you can email me during this broadcast at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And before I introduce my wonderful monthly co-hostess, I do want to make the announcement that the months are rolling by. It's already December, and we have our healing weekend coming up in April. For anyone who would like to join me for this amazing weekend of meeting other women in your situation, having workshops from professionals who can help you with your healing process, to just meet others and know that you don't have to say a word, that everybody will know what you're thinking, please write to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. This year the conference will be held in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and it's right near the airport, so it's very accessible to anybody coming in from anywhere. So I'll start my evening off by saying hello to my dear buddy, Suzette. Hi, Suzette.
Hi, Bonnie. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am doing just fine. Just fine.
I can always count on that, Suzette. You're always the cheerleader of the month when you get on here to make people feel better, right?
Yes, to give them hope for life after being married to someone gay, because there is hope.
That's right. And you certainly have, you know, met your hope and found love happily ever after into a wonderful relationship with a wonderful man. but not before going through trials and tribulations to get to that point, correct?
Oh, correct. It was a definite force of will and digging down until I found that part of me that said, hell no.
Exactly.
Yes. It's like enough of this.
I know. I feel so bad. I know. I get letters every day, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 letters each day from women who are in pain. And, of course, the most painful are those letters from women who just can't get a confirmation that they have their suspicions, they have a little proof, but their husbands yell at them that they're crazy. You know, they, what I call gaylight them and, you know, make them feel as if that they're the problem in the marriage. And I tell women, you know, half the marriages in America today get a divorce, and it has nothing to do with a gay husband. So why are women feel this need to keep hanging on, hanging in, wasting years, wasting days and months, feeling like they're, you know, worthless is beyond me. You know, like they need this to validate. They don't understand the only validation you need in a bad marriage is that it's a bad marriage, right?
So true. And you said something very, very key, that need for validation, you know. And I think when women really search their souls, they'll realize that it didn't start with being married to a gay man. There had to be a predisposition, something unresolved inside of them that made them want to get validation from somebody who can't give it to them and want to stick around and hope that he can.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's once again, man can't validate you, no matter who the man is and no matter what his sexuality is.
True.
That you have to be able to validate yourself. And if you're weak going into a relationship, you know, those predators are going to find you, and then they're going to destroy you. So it's a matter that you have to be, you know, strong, because otherwise you just go into a relationship of codependency, I would think. That's the best way to describe it.
And to Bonnie, this thing about what makes a woman strong, I think some women think that it makes them strong when they confront, you know, their gay husband, or when they call him out and say, you're acting gay, or you won't kiss me, or you won't touch me. They thought they're being strong because they are asserting what they believe to be true. But what makes them not strong is after the assertion, you stay because he doesn't say yes or no, or you stay for various reasons that you give yourself to stay. That's when it goes really south. There's not anything wrong with that part of you that's picking up on something's off about this man. There's nothing wrong with that. That's your intuition that says these dots do not line up, these numbers do not add up, body senses are tingling. So something's really off about you, and even if I don't know for sure whether you're gay or not, I know something is really off. But then outside of finding something factual, we stick around saying, tell me what it is. Why do you treat me this way? Why do you feel this way? And so we defer to them to make things right for us instead of saying, okay, this is not right, this is not working, I got to make the best decision for me, or if you have children, for me and the children. And we don't do that. We wait to find for him. He's got to tell me he's gay. He's got to tell me, but he says he wants the marriage. But he says he wants this. And it's like everything he's deferring to someone who's not treating us well. Why would we trust him?
And that's really what it comes down to, the way you're being treated. And it doesn't matter if he's straight, gay, asexual, bisexual, confused sexual. Sexuality has nothing to do with it. I mean,
exactly.
It does, but it doesn't, because you can have a very sexual man who's treating you, you know, very miserably, and he's no good for you. But that, if you don't mind, Suzette, I want to divert for a minute and just read a little something that you wrote. You know, Suzette is a beautiful writer and very profound writer, as she is, you know, a speaker. And, you know, and I was going through your book, I thought, this is very much on target with something you have. Now, this is from your book called Protecting Your Emotional G-Spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this was your latest book, correct?
So what now?
This is your latest book that you have
yes,
printed?
It is. Yes.
Right,
it is.
And there's wonderful, wonderful material in here. But there's a chapter here that's called Who's Your Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I chuckle when I think of an episode on the popular 80s sitcom Living Single, where Kim Fields' character, what's her name? Regine. And her boyfriend are underneath the sheet. Say my name, she commands during the robust lovemaking. Spell it, she continues. What a funny scene this was. Though no man ever asked me this question during an hour of pulling sexcapade, when a man asks, who's your daddy, it signifies that it's hitting your G-spot of something fierce. So then you go on to say, okay, this is what it's about. Daddy is a powerful figure. Under ideal circumstances, he is the first man and the first love of his daughter. He is the protector. He is the defender. His smile and loving embrace is adored by young baby girl and becomes the measuring stick as she grows into womanhood. Unfortunately, every little girl doesn't know who her daddy is. True, it took male sperm to create us, but it takes so much more to sustain us. When I was growing up, I didn't hear anything about emotional health. Contrary to the belief that feelings are important, many of us were taught by the male figure in our life that feelings were a sign of weakness. Whether it was hearing your stepfather pummeling your mother in another room, or the dismissal of your feelings by significant people in your life, vulnerability was and still is regarded as a sign of weakness, at least in this country. It's confusing. On one hand, women have fought against social bias and sexism in their own homes and in their own businesses, but what about in their hearts? Who owns that? Beyonce says girls run the world, yet these same girls will unwittingly give their hearts to men and women who have no regard for it. Before you hit your control button or erect another barricade around your heart, listen close. Your daddy has a lot to do with your relationships with men. I don't care how successful you are. Nothing reveals the truth like a relationship. I don't care how you rationalize where you are. To not understand this fact is to set yourself up for a big fall and worse. It will keep you imprisoned and unable to experience the healing power of a great relationship. Daddy affirms your value. He represents all that a man can be if he's been good to you, and all that a man can't be if he hasn't. Every man is consciously or unconsciously held up to him. For a young girl who doesn't know who her daddy is, she creates an image of him and her own value is based on it. She might have a wonderful uncles or attentive male teachers, but when she starts to mature, it will haunt her. She'll wonder who her daddy is, why he's not in her life, and what that means. That will haunt her until she resolves it. We bring that little girl with us. She still lives inside of all of us. I heard Roland Warren, past president of National Fatherhood Initiative, say something very insightful to an audience of fatherless men. You wouldn't let a 5-year-old drive your car, would you? He asked. Likewise, you don't let the little boy make decisions that should be left to grown-ups. I immediately recall situations in my life where the grown women had to take the forefront and not let the little girl, me, or a wounded me, decide. It is immature to let the fatherless you, the I'll do anything for you, hit my emotional G-spot, you call the shots. A little girl has to take the back seat, and the grown woman has to drive the car. Before anyone is issued a driver's license, they have to pass both a written and driving test. I don't care how many cars I've rode or how many observant a passenger I was. There was no way my mom or dad was going to let me drive the car. My great-granddaddy let me pretend to drive when I was a young child, but trust me when I tell you his big hands were on the steering wheel and his big feet were on the accelerator. I knew better than to try to drive without him. I'm not trying to sound like a teacher rapping the chalkboard as she drives her point. I'm simply appealing to the grown-up inside of you who knows, who really knows what is up. The grown-up you who knows that there is some truth to what your lover said to you is about you. When he said you got some real issues, it hurt your feeling. You told your girlfriends that he was wrong, controlling, intimidating, or some other go-to. But the truth be told, though, he isn't the first man to say this to you. She's not the first woman to say this to you. It's time to let the pounding little girl sit in the corner and let the grown-up have the say. My grown-up woman told me that I had anger issues. It's true that my then-boyfriend's behavior was critical and parental, the perfect combination to elicit rebellion from any woman. Yet, I could not ignore it. Adolescents rebel, not adults. They have nothing to rebel against. They know they are grown and won't be able to abide anyone who would treat them differently. Here's the point of this discourse. Grown-ups take responsibility for their actions. Grown-ups don't minimize something as important as their health and well-being. In short, you don't need a daddy. My grown-up self knew I was attracted to this man, not because he and I were compatible, but because he reminded me of my dad. That's no surprise for most of us. What was a surprise to me was that it was born out of unresolved grief. Although my dad had been dead since 1996, I had not buried my dad. Not only did he bring my dad's energy, but he also represented a do-over. There was that part of me that needed my dad's validation. He loved me, I knew that. That love seemed tied to whether he approved or didn't approve of something. It was never tied to how I felt. Of course, I wasn't aware of all this before my aha moment. The little girl was simply trying to find a lap to climb on and arms to cradle her. Hindsight brings with it a clearer vantage point. When things were good, they were really good. When things were bad, they were real bad. The blow-ups with this boyfriend were few and far between. Blow-ups are just the same. After months of regrouping, I could no longer ignore the obvious. We weren't good for each other. Sometimes quality trumps quantity. As much as I loved my dad, I could not be happy with my dad. Only my mom could have been married to my dad. I'm nothing like my mom. My needs are not the same. My temperament is not the same. What makes me happy and what makes me sad is nothing like my mother. Most of all, my purpose is nothing like my mom's. All these things had to be considered. You would never be happy married to your dad, my grown-up self said. So you have to find someone nothing like your dad. That made a great deal of sense. So I sat down and listed the qualities that were familiar. Emotional unavailability topped the list. Being with men who made me feel like my feelings didn't count or that other things more important than me was the norm, but not so what I needed. Here's the thing, though. You can read about someone or hear about something, but if you've never experienced it, you don't know whether what you're requesting is reasonable or not. When that's the case, you can be talked out of it. A man can tell you that you are too high maintenance and that you're dumb and that if you'll dumb your standards down, he'll think differently. Having found love has exceeded what I've been told that I could have. I realize that there is nothing wrong with being a high maintenance. A woman who has been loved by her dad or by her man doesn't even consider dumbing herself down. It's only women whose little girl inside doesn't know what it's like. She'll give herself to a man prematurely who has the potential to affirm her. She won't wait to find out what he is before allowing him to handle her sexually. She'll be all in after a couple of dates where the little girl gets patted on the head, forgetting that everybody will pat you on the head isn't your friend. Ask the girls who have been found in the woods because a nice man offered them a ride or ask them to help them find their puppy. Ask the little girl whose uncle tiptoed into her room when her mother was sleeping and fondled her, stroking her hair and whispering into her ear. Little girls act like little girls. A grown woman doesn't let a man talk her out of what she needs from him. And that was the chapter. And I thought that was just so course, profound like every other chapter in your book. But the reason I wanted to go through that tonight is because when you talk about marriages breaking up, one of the biggest objections that women have is they don't want their children coming from a broken family. But as you mentioned in your book, when girls look up to their dads and that's their role model, just like they look up to their moms as a role model and they see that the marriage is void of any kind of emotional attachment or intimacy, then that's the role model they're going to follow and that's what they're going to look for. So would you say that's true?
Very true, because it's not even a rational thing. It's a heart thing. It's what you've been socialized, you know, for. It's the energy you've lived in. And so we'll tell ourselves it's not going to happen. But in the absence of knowing the difference, we invariably attract that very same thing into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what that chapter is about. You know, you've been told not to talk to strangers, but little girls do this. Little girls can be very, very easily persuaded. Little girls can because they don't know anything different. But a grown woman has to make the decisions in our lives. We can't let the little girl drive the car. We can't. And if we don't know that, we have to find someone that will help us to isolate the difference. That's why counseling and therapy is so good, because it allows somebody objective to help us with knowing how far to the right and the left to go, to know where we begin and when the other people end. You know, it helps us to kind of get a gauge that we weren't born with. It helps us to get a gauge of what's normal, what's not normal, what's healthy, what's not healthy, what are needs versus preferences, what's important, what's not important, you know, what's really your spirit, what's your ego. It takes somebody outside of you. Like somebody said, the reason why we have blind spots is because we can't see them. So it takes somebody else to point out our blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so very important, and it saddens me. So many times you hear women that they get straight about their husbands, or they vilify their husbands, or they talk junk about their husbands, but yet they don't do anything to exorcise, and I mean exorcise, not exercise, but exorcise, get rid of that energy that they carry, that mistrust, that insecurity, that self-hatred, that hatred toward men. You know, all these things stay locked up inside of us until they are exorcised. They've got to be exorcised, and we do that by getting clear about who we are. Have somebody objective to help us to figure out who we are. And when we figure that out of what we want, then we start finding out, hey, I deserve better. I deserve better. But somebody has to teach us that. Somebody has to teach it.
And just saying it doesn't mean anything. I mean,
We tell our girlfriends all the time. You know, somebody comes to us and says, oh, Joe, you know what? Joe, I went out with this guy, and he was late for the date, and he ended up not paying for the date, and I had to end up catching a ride, you know, and our girlfriends will unwittingly say, you deserve better than that. You deserve better than that. We've always told, you deserve better than that. But then what's so funny is then time goes by, right? You talk to your girlfriend about a week or two later, only to find out that she say, yeah, I do deserve better. Yeah, he's so-and-so. Talk bad while you're in your presence. Then, somehow or another, in between times together, they come back, and next thing you know, they're back with Joe Blow again. And you think, wait a minute, I thought you didn't trust him. I thought he cheated on you. I thought this. Well, he explained, and well, he said he was sorry. And we're just like, but you deserve better. Well, you don't understand. You don't understand.
Right.
It's like, no, the truth is we see him. But you don't. Your emotional G-spot is so triggered, you can't see it. You cannot see it.
And so that's why I said it takes somebody that we trust. And a lot of times the reason why I advocate so much for someone professional is that we tend to trust the professional telling us the same things our girlfriends tell us, but we tend to trust them more.
Uh-huh.
So you have to have somebody speak into your life who you regard as credible. As credible.
Well, I agree with that. I think that, you know, all the things that your friends tell you, once they've verified by a professional, all of a sudden they take a new turn,
mm-hmm.
and that they have more credibility. But you have to be open to hearing it, and then you have to be open to doing something about it. Because I can't tell you how many times I work with women and they tell me, oh, I deserve better. Yes, you do. You deserve better. Now, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm not quite ready. I'm going to work towards that. I know what I have to do, but there's all these buts. And, you know, every time you give a but, your ass is being kicked. Your butt's being kicked. You know, because the longer you stay in a destructive relationship, you know, finding excuses not to leave it, I think the longer you're going to stay there. You know, when women aren't ready to leave.
It's true.
I mean, I know in their
heart
they really know they have to go, but they just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found that?
And the thing about that is, it's really easy, and I'm not belittling that some women are going through hell, but it's very easy to scapegoat the husband and say it's your fault. It's much easier to blame somebody else than it is to get free. It's much easier. It's so much easier to vilify him. It's so much easier to say he's the reason I'm unhappy. It's so much easier to say, oh, poor me, he's treating me bad. It's so much easier to say, but the children, but the finances, but all these things. And, again, I preface it by saying I know some people are going through hell and different situations, but, my God, at least start working toward freedom. And I don't mean just saying it you're talking to Bonnie or when you're talking to, you know, girlfriends that point out that he's not worth the time that you're staying or the way he's treating you is not right. But I mean it gets down inside of you where you start saying, you know what, I can't take this anymore. I cannot spend not one more day. I cannot spend not one more day. They justifying being treated like I'm not valuable. Because for you to say, yeah, I deserve it, but then you, when you say but, you have just discredited what you just said. You basically said, I deserve it, but I don't really deserve it. Because if I really deserved it, I would not be justifying in it. So I'm not really quite sure yet whether I deserve it. I'll say it to you, and I'll say it in theory, but my actions betray me because my actions say the jewelry is still out. I don't know whether I deserve it or not. That's the truth. Because I've never seen anybody in my life that really believes they deserve something and they don't go after it. I've never seen it. They really believe it. They really know you can't talk them out of it. They believe it with every fiber of their being. I've never seen anybody believe something that hard without going after it.
Yeah, and I understand being beaten down. Trust me, I really do. And I'm really sympathetic. And the longer you stay in an abusive marriage, the more beaten down you get. And I tell women, you don't have to do it today, but you have to get a game plan ready. Because you're miserable, and the worst part is if you're sitting and waiting for proof that you're never going to get because these guys are smarter than you, they know how to hide it better than you, and because they don't even think they're gay, you know, they think they're straight, just having gay dalliances. So, you know, there's no way they're going to come to terms with who they are and tell you the truth. So you just get further into the rut.
You're so
that,
right,
you know, because
even my ex-gay husband, I never caught him, and he never admitted it.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, he hasn't admitted it.
Right.
The closest he ever came to admitting it was saying, you know, talking about down low. That was the closest he came to admitting it. The closest he came.
And there are many men who will never admit it. You know, they just can't get past the cultural difference. They can't get past, you know, the shame from their communities or their religions. You know, they're not willing to stand up against it. And you know what? I understand that too. I just can't understand why I have to drag an innocent person down with you. And it really kind of pisses me off that, you know, these guys claim that they're victims of society. Well, guess what? We're the same victims as they are, but worse. Because we had no idea what we were getting into. At least they knew that there was something off. We didn't.
Yeah.
And rather than trying to do anything to correct it, they just kept further, you know, devaluing us. And making us feel like we were their cause for unhappiness, and we were trapping them. Or, I mean, I read so many horrible stories this week from women and the things their husbands would tell them, how they didn't have rhythm in bed, how they couldn't move, how they smell. You know, like, I get these letters, and it just makes me angry all the time to think that women have to go through this suffering. And that's why I say it doesn't matter whether you have proof. It doesn't matter whether you have validation. All that matters is that you're not happy. That has to be good enough.
Exactly.
And I'm just not quite sure why it doesn't work that way with straight women. It works that way for all the other women in the world. They're not happy. They get a divorce. They want to start again. And there's so many good reasons for divorce. You know, you get married at 18, 19, or 20, and you don't know what you want at that age. You know, your children at that age still. And people can't always grow together because they're not the same. So they grow apart, or the thrill is gone, or it's just not working anymore. I mean, sometimes it just doesn't work anymore. It doesn't mean it's a life sentence because you're in it, right?
That's right. Because the only mistake is to stay in a situation longer than the expiration date. Some of our relationships have an expiration date on them. They really do. And a lot of times we know that we have stayed longer than the expiration because we are tolerating. We don't like the person no more. They're mean to us. We're mean to them. We walk around with a chip on our shoulder. And one of the things that saddens me, Bonnie, along with what you said, what saddens me a lot of times is the longer a woman stays in that situation, she can become the very thing that she hates about her gay husband. She can become that same person that's not telling the truth. She can become that same mean-spirited person. He talking down to her, and then she's becoming that kind of person that talks down about him and talks down about other people. You start observing, absorbing, and internalizing the very abuse that you tolerate and become the very same mean-spirited, nasty woman.
And I say that really happens when internally. I say that happens when you're unhappy. You know, when people are unhappy, like really unhappy, they're just not that nice. They can't be because they're unhappy. And, you know, misery loves company. So if they're unhappy, they're going to try to make the next person unhappy too. I'm not saying it's a conscious move, but you kind of just feel better, you know, when you have another person who's miserable with you. So you're not looking to build somebody up. You're looking to knock them down so they'll be where you are and you'll feel better that you're not alone. And that's the sad part, that it turns you into somebody who you're not. And
exactly.
I think that's what hurt me so much during my marriage. It wasn't, there were so many different aspects to it, but the fact that it turned me into somebody that I didn't like anymore, turned me into somebody who I couldn't trust her anymore, her opinion didn't matter anymore. I became a detective, always snooping, waiting to catch him. And if I would catch him, what would I do? It's like I say to these women, okay, let's say you found him. In what position do you have to find him? Can it just be email between two men? Could it just be a love letter or two? Or do you actually have to catch him in bed having sex with a man? And some women need that validation, that until they find him in bed with a man, they don't have proof.
So
I don't think they're really looking for
it. So until they find them in bed with a man, they're going to give themselves, they're going to commit to staying in a prison and staying
that's
in a marriage they hate. That's the sentence. That's the life sentence they're serving. Until I find them in bed with somebody else, I'm going to stay in prison. Now, what kind of sense does that make?
None
to me. It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no logical sense. And I say this to the ladies that are listening. I understand where you have been. Bonnie and I both understand. Trust me, neither one of us skipped any steps. We didn't skip steps. We didn't, you know, skip the third grade and went on to the sixth grade. We went through every single grade of this gay husband thing. Every single thing that I have read ladies say on Facebook, that I have heard them say at the healing weekends, I could identify with some variety of the exact thing that they said. So we're not telling you something as somebody that just kind of breezed through this thing and skipped the part that reminded us what you went through. No, we went through it, and in some cases, worse.
Uh-huh.
But there comes a point in your life, regardless to where your self-esteem is, something happens inside of you that says, I cannot live like this. Something happens. Now, sometimes it's a blessing. Sometimes the very thing that you get mad at is life giving you an exit strategy and giving you a get-the-hell-out free card. Sometimes
and you know what?
A man is acting bad so that you can have a good reason to get out.
And the reason I appreciate how hard it is because I wouldn't have done it unless my ex-husband, who would have left me. And he left me in a moment of anger, and he packed up his stuff and left. And that 1 week of being on my own made me take back my life. And even though he came back a week later, expecting that
that's
I'd be
so
in
good.
A more weakened state, having to raise, you know, the little babies by myself. And, you know, he was young. We were both young. You know, we were both not very mature when it came to this. You know, I knew that this was not the life I wanted for myself. I couldn't keep walking on those eggshells. You know, I couldn't keep, you know, worrying about if I wanted to live or not, because that's how I got. You know, I lost all my confidence in everything. I mean, I had to take my life back. And, you know, for women, I realized that if he hadn't left that 1 week, and when he came back, I said, no, you left, that's it. And he said to me, are you willing to break up a marriage? And I said, yes, I am, because I just knew that I couldn't be good to my children or good to myself. And he gave me the out, which was the most decent thing he could have done. You know, he didn't push himself back in. He accepted it. And that was the only way I was able to cope through those future years. And, you know, at least we were able to co-parent our children together, even though we weren't together, but at least we didn't have to stay enemies. You know, where if we would have stayed together, we would have become really bad enemies. So sometimes you give yourself a break, but I can understand why women get stuck because I just didn't know how I would ever get out of it. I just didn't know. He gave me the out. So
and
I do appreciate women who are trapped.
Yeah.
And there's always a way out.
Yeah. And sometimes life knows that we can't do it on our own. And
back then I couldn't do it on my own. I mean, there was no internet back then. There weren't any women with straight, you know, gay husbands that I knew. I felt like I was the only one in the world going through this. And back then, you know, you didn't want to say, oh, guess what, my marriage is breaking up because my husband's gay. You know, people weren't very accepting of that. And, of course, the finger got pointed at you. Well, he wasn't gay when he married you. Why did he become gay after you were with him? So out of the shame and out of the feeling of, you know, being ostracized, you didn't announce it to anybody. You kept it a secret and hoped that nobody would find out. But thankfully, I was able to start a support group that grew into a national movement eventually. But, you know, it was just so hard then. So now, I'm not saying it's any easier, but at least there's support around. At least you have people like you who do coaching to help women out of the, you know, situation that they're in.
Yes.
And, you know, you always need to go for therapy. Sometimes just coaching, you know, what you need, because that's how you're going to find your way out of something that's not the right relationship for you. So tell people, Suzette, you know, a little bit more about what coaching does for you.
Oh, certainly. Well, of course, coaching is different from counseling. Counseling, it deals with your trauma, your past, your stuckness, you know, what might be keeping you holding on to this man that may be attached to some trauma that happened in your life. You might have been molested as a child. Certain things might have happened in your life that have been unresolved that are causing you to cling to this situation, unable to move forward. Then that counseling and therapy and psychiatry would serve you. But all things being normal and you being functional, coaching is what I recommend because it helps you to move forward. For many of you ladies, you all have made the decision to leave your gay husbands. But one of the things that I often say is leaving your husbands really is just geography unless you've taken yourself back. And so even though you might be living across town, unless you take yourself back, he can still control you from across town. So coaching helps you to get clear about who you are and what makes you, where you should get your validation from. It allows you to move forward toward the life that you want to have and helps to rinse off the stigma and the residue of the life that you work in. It helps to separate you from what you've been through, because many times with us gay, our straight wives, we have internalized so many messages that are just not true. And so coaching can help walk you out of those messages, help you to get clear about what's true about you and what's not true, what's normal and what's not normal. It can help you to deal with mistrust issues and insecurity issues, give you the fortitude, accountability, and support so that you can take your life back and create it the way you want it to be and have somebody to stand with you and hold you accountable and hold up a mirror and help you to dig down and find the treasure within you to do that. So coaching really is, to me, a vital next step in recreating a life past being a straight wife.
And so that the word straight wife will always define you. I mean, it's different, you know, for me, because I've committed myself to this, you know, for my adult life. So I can always look at myself as a straight wife, but I'm a straight wife who moved on to a straight man and, you know, found the happiness she was seeking and for many years. In fact, tomorrow's our 22-year, 11-month anniversary. But I thought I'd throw
you celebrate every month.
Every month, yeah.
Every month.
But the point is that I would have never had that chance to find love if I would have stayed in a relationship that was just dimming me by the hour, like a candle melting down, you know, getting dimmer and dimmer, because that's how I was. You know, people just didn't even know who I was. They would say, who are you? I would say, I'm not sure anymore.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like over-exaggerated, but I'm telling you the truth.
Like a dish rag. I can understand that. And the thing about it is, even though I hold the straight wife label, because I say I am a recovered straight wife, because I want the ladies out there to know you can be recovered. You don't have to walk around for the rest of your life with that, like with that scarlet letter you know, etched into your clothes and into your spirit, into your mind, into your self-image. You do not have to carry the stigma of having been married to a gay man around for the rest of your life. You can be recovered. And the reason I say I'm a recovered straight wife is because I've come back with a message that there is hope and there is life afterwards. So I keep the straight wife label only to let you know that there is life after. You can have a wonderful, absolutely wonderful life. My God, as of December 27th, I'll be celebrating my second year of being married to my beloved sweetheart. Lord have mercy, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, good Lord have mercy, help me somebody, man. So if I I'm not the exception, but I had to do enough work to claim enough health to be able to date, to work with a relationship coach, and to find out the difference between a healthy man and an unhealthy man, and deal with those things inside of me that were attracted to somebody who could not treat me right. I mean, you have to do some work. God, I'm so glad that the work I did blessed me with somebody beyond what I could have ever thought I would have ever been able to have. I never saw myself with somebody like this man, because this man isn't just a Prince Charming. He's not a Cinderella fantasy kind of, oh, you know, a good man is going to treat me, la, la, la. It's not in this fantasy realm. It's a normal, healthy, breathing, kind, good man. And there are many of those men out there that are being
overlooked.
And that's
the whole key to it. That's the whole key that, like, you know, I always said about Janine, you know, Finelli, who's our guest health coach. You know, she had tattooed on her hands, love is kind. It's that simple. It's no more complicated than that. You know, if love isn't kind, then you don't. Then it's not love. Then it's control or it's power or it's using, but it's not love, because love is kind. That's not to say you won't have a fight here and there. But, you know, people are different. But it's something you can patch up quickly and not hold grudges on and realize that people are different. So you may not always agree, but that's okay. You don't have to.
You don't have
to. But you have to be kind
to
each other, right?
Exactly, and that's another reason why I feel like my straight wife sisters need to seek help. Because the thing about it is, when if the universe sent you a good man, you've been wanting a good man. Some of you are you know, suspicious as to whether any good men exist. Let me tell you, they really do. But the thing that happens is, if you don't do work on yourself, if you don't have at least a certain amount of an open heart and a willing spirit to at least some degree in the positive direction, a good man could walk up to you tomorrow and you would not be able to receive love from him. There, and unless you can receive love, you can't give it. So why would the universe
really
want to send a good man if you're not going to at least be open enough?
And I think that the real issue is you have to work on yourself, of course, before you find a man. Because, for instance, I have a very close friend, and she's really not suitable for men. Because she's always looking to find the bad guy kind type, the bad boy type. You know, she likes that edge in a relationship. And then when she gets getting hurt over and over, you know, she can kick herself and keep saying, I deserve better than this. But it finds a good, she finds a nice man, it's boring. So if you're that kind of woman, you need not to be with a man. I mean, it's that simple. Unless you plan to get hurt over and over again. I mean, sometimes you're just not relationship material. You can go out and have fun and do things. But if you're going to keep getting into a destructive relationship, there really is no point to it. And it's not because somebody's gay or somebody, their sexuality. There's lots of straight predators out there who are looking for loving, caring women like you. Right?
Exactly. And it's a sad thing. You know, I don't know your friend, but it's a sad thing when a woman will keep attracting the same man. He might be wearing a different suit, you know, but he's the same man over and over and over. That's insanity.
She can't have a relationship.
Yeah.
She's too old for one now. Because she's only going to keep finding herself in with bad men because good men don't appeal to her.
And I mean, that's, and what's so sad is it's insanity, because if good men don't appeal, then at some point you got to stop complaining about the bad man that you wanted.
Exactly.
You wanted a bad man. Baby, you got it.
That's what I say.
You
got what you
want.
You can't
take a bad man and make him good.
Right. And I think that's what a lot of us make that mistake also, that they're going to be a bad boy and we're going to change them.
Oh.
Well, now I realize that even if we would change them, then we wouldn't want them. So what's the difference?
Women
who are attracted to... Isn't that true, though? If you want a bad guy and now you came and he's a good guy, you're going to dump him and look for another bad guy. So there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, that part of our brains needs to be deprogrammed and reprogrammed. You know, somebody needs to kind of swipe clean that hard drive. You need a new hard drive because it doesn't make sense. And it really says that there's something broken. It really says when we're attracted to people that treat us badly, that's a sign of something broken.
Definitely.
That needs to be attended to, yes.
And no matter how much of a caretaker you are, just looking for somebody because they're bad and you can fix them isn't going to work.
Mm-mm.
You know, taking care of somebody broken is only going to make them break more and take you down with them.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, and we kind of need to lose this martyr, rescuer, enabler thing. We need to lose that.
Yeah. I tell women, start being a bitch and look out for yourself. One from a relationship, what you put into it, and don't settle for one thing less. It really has to be a partnership. It has to be communication. You can't be afraid to state what you want in a relationship. It's not all about him. It's about you as a couple and you both understanding what your needs are and trying to meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Not be an obstacle course to keep running through and then losing the race, right?
That's right.
Getting back to your chapter in the book, what we need to once again reinforce to our women, especially during this holiday season, because this is my time of year to be very entrenched with a lot of very sad people, because what happens by January is that I have a whole new group of women to work with whose husbands didn't want to tell them until after the new year, thinking like there's a good time and a bad time. So, all right, you know, there's some truth to all of that, but the point remains they're going to find out. And the important thing for them to recognize is this, that your children will model themselves after you and your husband and your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a lack of intimacy in your marriage because your husband's gay, and even if your kids don't know, which they usually do before you do, or even if you don't want to tell them why, you have to realize that this is what they're going to repeat. They're going to look for a man just like daddy, like you say, to try to get that daddy's approval that they couldn't get while they were, you know, living in that situation, or to make their daddies happy. And then they'll have a marriage also that's missing the love and the intimacy and the sex, the passion, and they'll be willing to settle for so little because they've seen that you've settled for so little. Because they see that you didn't want any more in your life, that this was their norm, that when their life becomes like that, this will be their norm. And I always say to the women that defining moment, would you want, if your daughter came to you and said to you, I want to marry a man just like daddy, what would you say? Would you say, go ahead and do it? Or would you tell her to run away and run fast? And when they inevitably say, I would tell them, run away, I say, well, then why are you staying?
Exactly.
You know, that's my point. Why are you staying in something so destructive that your children are going to model themselves after?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do it. You have to move on.
You have to. You have to.
Women listening to this need support, and there's lots of support. Suzette has a wonderful coaching business. Tell them how to get in touch with you, Coach Suzette.
Ah, I'm glad you asked me that, Bonnie Kay. You should get in contact with me at www.coachsuzette.com.
Okay, and if you have any questions on that, you can just, you know, write to me, and I'll be more than happy to make sure you get that information. And during this holiday season, we'll try to bring you some really good programming to keep you up during this month, because I know it's very easy to feel down. And especially whether you're married or you're not married or you're going through the first year alone on your own. You know, so many women who really need help, really need to be supported during this time, just write to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And I'll be more than happy to set you up with the support that you're looking for. And Suzette is my number one coach here. So you really need, if you need help and you don't feel like going back to your past 40 years ago and you just want to move forward now in your future, Suzette will be your cheerleader. She'll be your coach. She'll show you the different directions you can go in. Because sometimes women are really afraid to start over after a bad experience. You know, and this is the time of year that, once again, many women are going to find out some very sad news, women who really didn't know, or women whose suspicions are going to be confirmed. And it's going to be a very tough year for many women, and you can make it easier on yourself by getting, you know, the right help. With Suzette, I just wanted to mention, you can live anywhere in the country. Suzette does it by phone, by Skype, by everywhere, everywhere, right?
Yes,
you don't have to
I
be
do.
Living in the South, right?
That's true. That's true. And one of the things I wanted to add as well, because I know some time back I made a post about coping during the holidays, and I wanted to bring that up because I won't be talking to you all anymore until the new year, so I got to get it all in. One of the things I want to say to you ladies is, My advice and recommendation to you is this. Don't try to cope. And I know it sounds really weird, but what I would rather that you all would do, instead of trying to cope with not being treated well, trying to cope with all the loneliness, is to take a moment and pay attention. Don't just go into blind coping mechanisms. But allow yourself to open your eyes up and pay attention to how you feel. Pay attention to how he looks at you. Pay attention to these things, because if you pay attention, you will know that you need to leave. If you cope, you'll convince yourself to stay. That's why I said I don't recommend trying to cope. I recommend that you open your eyes and listen to your heart. Listen. Listen to your soul. Listen to that cry inside of you that says you deserve more. Listen to that heart that says I want more. Listen to it. And call Bonnie and call me. Listen to it. And God knows, I know Bonnie will talk you through, and I know I will walk you out of it.
That sounds like a really good combination. Talk and walk. I love
talk
it, Suzette, and I love
yes,
you.
Yes, sir, baby.
And thank you so much for just always being there for all of our women all year round. And we'll have to see how to plan our next show, because it's on Christmas. So we'll see how things are going. Maybe we can pre-record it and just broadcast it. But we'll figure out something, because those women are going to need you for their upcoming year.
Actually,
your show is New Year's, first day of New Year's. So we'll see how we celebrate. But we'll get you on there one way or another, right?
Right.
We'll find you.
Yes.
All right, ladies, we love you. Stay strong. Yes. We're here for you. Yes. And whatever you need, bonkay@aol.com or Coach Suzette at .com, right?
CoachSuzette.com. Yes.
All right. Well, I love you, Suzette.
I love you too, Bonnie.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. And good night to all of our listeners. All right.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye.